Zechariah 13 verse 1, in that day there will be a spring open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Well, in that day, the idea of these restoration prophecies is that the exiles who returned from Persia or Babylon could have re-established God's kingdom in Israel with some sort of messianic figure, and God was willing to work with them to do that. But we read earlier in Zechariah 11 how the stick that represented the covenant between God and his people had been broken, and they therefore were outside the old covenant because they had broken it, and God is saying that he confirms their breaking of that covenant. He would never break the covenant from his side, but they had broken it from their side. And so in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the returned exiles are offered a new deal. They are offered a new covenant whereby God would write his law in their hearts. They would not have to keep the law of Moses because they had failed to keep it. And he would sprinkle them from uncleanness. He would forgive them. He would accept them. And he would give them his spirit in their hearts. The spirit of the law of Moses, the law itself was holy, just, and good, but it was not obeyed by men, so in that sense it failed to achieve its objective. The spirit of that law would be written in their hearts. Now, the law of Moses produced one perfect person, and that was the Lord Jesus. It's not that he just managed to scrape in, as it were, to total obedience. He managed to just about keep everything that was in the law. That's not the point. The law was intended to inculcate spirituality and to bring a person who was obedient to it to perfection. Now, it didn't achieve that. It did not make anything perfect, as Hebrews says. But the Lord Jesus was perfect. He was the one who was trained by that law, by his Father's own law and voice, so that he was the one perfect human being. And the spirit of that is therefore the spirit of Jesus. And that is what was offered in the new covenant. But they didn't want it. They wanted to keep the old covenant. Well, that was broken. Zechariah in chapter 11 has broken his shepherd's stave that he has called, in some versions, grace, to symbolize the breaking of the covenant between God and his people. So they've been offered this new deal and they've not taken it. Likewise, so many people today. And we have, of course, accepted the new covenant, and we take the cup, which is the symbol, the celebration of the New Testament, the new covenant, when we break bread. Now, they could have built the temple complex that was described in Ezekiel 40 to 48, called there in Ezekiel 43 the law of the house. It was all commandment rather than prophecy, but they didn't. And that's why when they did build some kind of temple, some people wept when it was completed, because they realized this was not at all what was intended. Within that temple complex in Ezekiel 47, you have these living waters that God would make spring out from the altar. And you've got them mentioned in Joel 3, and you have them mentioned in Zechariah 14, and you have them here in Zechariah 13, a spring that would be open to the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. It would be a physical sort of testimony of how, once they'd accepted the new covenant, according to Ezekiel 36:25, they would be purified, and the Spirit would, as it were, be sprinkled on their hearts. But they didn't want that. So these prophecies then are reapplied, they are reinterpreted, they are rescheduled. Not, I don't think, in the sense that every literal detail will come true. I don't see that there has to be, therefore, at some point, a literal spring open to the house of David. That spring has been opened in Jesus. And the Lord Jesus talks about how, as the scripture has said, the Holy Spirit will come out of the hearts of those who have accepted it, and that those who believe in him will have rivers of living waters flowing out from them, as the scripture has said. And you think, well, what scripture exactly? And I think Zechariah 13 is one of those scriptures. that these prophecies will have their, and do have, their essential fulfillment, although not to the literal letter, but in spirit, to we who believe. So then, we become the source of this springing water. This is what Jesus says about the springing water that comes out from him through his people. And there's nothing better than to be the source of blessing to other people. It doesn't matter how wealthy you get, doesn't matter how smart you think you've got in this life. The greatest way to be is to be a blessing to others, to see that with God's hand upon you, you have radically transformed the lives of other people. And in Ezekiel 47, you have the picture of this springing water going out and healing those that are sick and causing trees of life to grow up on both sides of its banks that give leaves which are for the healing of the nations. Now, these things are interpreted in Revelation, right at the end of Revelation, in a very spiritual sort of way, in a symbolic way. And in essence, it's going on now that we can be the source of life, springing, bubbling water, not stagnant, but new life, life and that more abundantly for other people. Because as I say, Jesus said that according to the scripture, he that believes on me, out of his innermost being, there will come forth this spring of living water. So then what is ultimately true for Jesus, because he ultimately is the source of this living water, as the Samaritan woman at the well understood? All that's true for him becomes true for us. We can be for others this source of water. Now, you may think, well, I'm a rather shy person, I'm not involved really in evangelism. But you know, you can be an extrovert, but when it comes to preaching the gospel, you're all shy. We're all shy and somewhat introverted and awkward about these things. But ask God to give you meetings with people in your life to whom you can be this living water, because you have got it within you. And it's got to come out to other people. This is one of our functions in this world. You remember how Jesus called the disciples and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. The impact that we have upon other people is part and parcel of the whole package, if you like, of being a believer. That's why he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You are the source of light to others in the darkness of this world. So then, you cannot be a secret believer. And whilst evangelism tends to be understood as standing on street corners, giving out tracts and stuff, that is, of course, not the only way to do evangelism. The essence is that you, in who you are to be the advertisement for Jesus. You are, we are, the body of Christ. How do people know about him in this world? Through meeting us. We are him. He has, in that sense, no other face, no other hands, no other legs, apart from you and me. We are his chosen witnesses in this world. So then we've got to be open. We've got to not hide that light and to realize I have got something that can radically transform you. And it doesn't matter whatever your social status, it doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, fat, thin, healthy, unhealthy, doesn't make any difference at all. You are the channel through whom God wishes to get this springing, life-giving water to other people. So we're all, as I say, shy. We all wriggle slightly uncomfortably when I talk about these things. Okay, fair enough. Pray that God will give you meetings with people. Every day I pray this. I pray it every morning. I pray it every evening. That is absolutely true. I do. Ask him on your knees to give you meetings with people to whom you may witness. Now, this is not the same as, would you like to come to church with me? Oh, our church has got something on. Come to the church. Well, that is all secondary, if not tertiary, if not way down the track. The essential witness is personal. It is person to person. Because you are that source of spring water to that person. Not the church, not the organization, not your denomination, but you personally.